Peppy. You're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And it's time right now for the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Radio Show. You just heard right there, Les Jaguars with Guitar Jet from 1965, Montreal, Quebec. Today on the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Radio Show, an interview with, from Montreal, Quebec, Thomas Mulcair from the NDP. Last week on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, had an interview with Justin Trudeau from the Liberals. Liberals, NDP, all add up to Canadian election 2015 coverage on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. Missing a couple parties there, the Green and also the Conservatives. More on the Conservatives later. I did attempt and will tell you what didn't happen. Right now, going to play another track by Les Jaguars called Tourbillon from 1965 as well. And in an interview with Thomas Mulcair, leader of the NDP party, in the interview, you will hear, as I mentioned last week on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, me referring to something called the hip flip. I say, Mr. Mulcair, will you do the hip flip? And I go through a long list of people that have done, politicians, that have done the hip flip. What the hip flip is, if you can just visualize it, if you haven't seen it already, it's a pole that goes between two people, and there's a flipper in the middle of the pole, and people have to use their belly fat to propel the flipper around the pole. In other words, two people face-to-face, kind of doing a game of Twister, except with the pole in the middle and trying to flip a little flipper. So when you hear me going, well, you do the hip flip, and then you hear little clips of so-and-so did the hip flip, John Gretchen did the hip flip, and you hear me going, ah, that's actually a clip that I'm showing Mr. Mulcair of Jean Chrétien doing the hip flip to give him some instructions on what needs to be done. Also, I want to mention today in the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, interviews with Jean Chrétien, former Prime Minister of Canada, Liberal leader of Canada, as well as older interviews with Mikhail Gorbachev, former leader of the free world, i.e. Russia, the unfree world, now the free world, and Dan Quayle, former vice president of the United States of America, and also a special little interview with Gerald Ford, rest in peace, ex-president of United States of America and Warren Commission member. So right now, going to play an interview with Thomas Mulcair, then an interview with Jean Chrétien, Mikhail Gorbachev, Dan Quayle, and Gerald Ford, all as part of Canadian Election 2015 coverage on the Nardwuar Human Survey Radio Show. And again, here is Les Jaguars with Tourbillon from 1965 from Montreal, the home riding of the man known as Thomas Mulcair. Here are Les Jaguars on the Nardwuar the Human Serviette Radio Show. Nardwuar, the human serviette in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Election time, Canadian election 2015. It's the time when I approach all the different candidates and see if they will do the hip flip. Who are you?
Tom Mulcair, leader of Her Majesty's loyal opposition, member of Parliament for Outremont, and a candidate in this election.
For Prime Minister?
We're hoping for that.
And Mr. Mulcair, who do you have beside you?
I have Nardwuar beside me.
Nardwuar, the human serviette, but also somebody very important to your right.
My girlfriend, since we were both teenagers, and my wife, and the mother of our kids, and the grandmother of our grandchildren.
Hello, Catherine.
Hi.
I was curious right off the bat. You love Tommy Douglas, Mr. Mulcair, and I was curious, have you been into Tommy Douglas collectibles at all?
Well, I have been to Tommy Douglas' house several times, but no, not so much on the collectibles, although I do have a couple of people who have been giving me these wonderful old CCF pins or these old Tommy Douglas buttons from the day, so I've seen a couple of those.
Have you seen a Tommy Douglas box set that's out there? Check this out. Like, if you open it up, there's like a vinyl, look what's in here, a vinyl record.
Wow, that must be. Have you memorized some of these speeches?
Not yet, ba-boom. And then also a photo, too, and also a nice picture here. Now, who is right there Mr. Douglas beside? Because that's an important person, isn't it?
Wow, you got me. I'm supposed to know who that is, but I don't.
Caldwell.
Oh, there you go. I didn't recognize him, no. That's right in front of the big doors that we always use as a prop in Parliament. This is the what they call the foyer of the House of Commons. So I'm glad to see that picture of Mr. Douglas and Mr. Caldwell.
A Tommy Douglas box set, and it makes me think of records, too. Now, Stephen Harper, he's into AC/DC. And you, Mr. Mulcair, what about you? Are you into Patsy Gallant growing up? Were you into Harmonium growing up? Were you into the punk band Electric Vomit? What were you into growing up?
I was a pretty big fan of the original boys bands, the Beatles, Rolling Stones. There's still some of my favorites. Depending, towards the end of high school, Led Zeppelin was a pretty big favorite of ours.
Mr. Mulcair, Brian Mulroney compared you to?
John Diefenbaker.
John Diefenbaker, I want to ask you, what can you tell the people about John Diefenbaker? I am a Canadian, and underneath it, if you pick out this record, Diefenbaker and Delta, the Diefen dollar.
The Diefenbuck. I remember that part well, 92 and a half cents, although we'd be doing well today compared to that. Look, I didn't even know that there was this proud tradition of politicians making vinyl records of each other. You know what? I think I might go back to that. I think that might work. You know, this forget this social media stuff. Vinyl's the new thing.
Got to have the box set.
Got to go back. Exactly.
But how about other collectibles? Is there a Thomas Mulcair doll?
A doll? No, I hope I'm the one, but...
Is there a doll? Have you ever seen a doll?
We saw a little puppet in the market in Ottawa, and we were able to buy a couple of those. There was these little puppets that were made by a woman there, and I had one of mine and one of Jack's.
What do you think about collectibles in that particular respect? Like, under this towel right here, do you recognize this gentleman right here? Who is this, Mr. Mulcair?
This is the inimitable Yvon Godin, the Member of Parliament for Acadie-Bathurst, and a fighting Acadian, if ever there was one.
Close, actually. It's Mike Harcourt.
Harcourt. Well, my God, they're spitting image of each other.
And what's incredible, check this out, Catherine. You can actually fight. He can fight Bill van der Zaam. Do you remember that at all?
I do remember that at all. But Yvon's going to... Yvonne's going to be very proud that he has something that looks this much like him. But I do also know Mike Harcourt.
Yeah, what can you say about Mike Harcourt versus van der Zaam?
Well, I don't know.
Didn't the boxing happen there, Catherine?
I didn't listen to you. I was just checking that.
I don't know.
Another night at the Mulcair household?
Hit a guy with glasses, huh?
No.
I was wondering, Mr. Mulcair, what was the first car that you owned?
The first car that we owned together was a Plymouth Duster.
A green
Duster.
What are you driving now?
Catherine has a little Suzuki.
The importance of this person right here, if you could tell us right now.
You got it. Oh, gosh.
Flora?
That's Flora McDonald, yeah.
An amazing record cover?
Yes. Again, more history of people making records. And by the way, she left us recently, and Catherine and I went to say goodbye to her at the funeral in Ottawa.
A very, very important politician and a record to be documented.
Yeah, and she was a progressive conservative at a time when such a person still existed.
And winding up here with Mr. Thomas
Mulcair
and
Catherine.
I was curious, one of your candidates in Toronto, Jennifer
Hollett.
Jennifer Hollett is an amazing dancer.
She's an amazing dancer. She's an experienced VJ, but she also has a master's degree in public administration from that little university in the States called Harvard. She's brilliant, she's experienced, and she's a star, and I'm looking forward to having her play a key role in our government after October 19th.
And I was curious about the dancing. How is Mr. Mulcair for the dancing?
He's great.
Where did you learn to dance?
With Catherine.
Whereabouts?
In Montreal. And, yeah.
Did you check out any of the older Montreal bands? Do you know, like, Montreal rock history? Do any of these ring any bells to you guys? Caesar and the Romans?
Oh, man, no, that was amazing. I think Jean Chrétien was in that band.
Baboon.
Les Jaguars.
And I mentioned him earlier, Harmonium.
Well, Harmonium was actually a phenomenal band.
What can you tell the people about Harmonium? What can you tell the people about Quebec rock there?
Well, Harmonium is really classic Quebec rock. Really good stuff. And they're sort of, from that era, one of the best that we had.
Lastly, Mr. Mulcaire, I was curious if you would do the hip flip with me right here. This is a game called the hip flip.
Well, the only person I ever hip flip with is Catherine, but if you want to show us what to do, we can give it a try.
Oh, that would be amazing, because Justin Trudeau did the hip flip.
Well, we'll give it our best.
Jack Layton did the hip flip.
I see. I wasn't aware of that. I'm going to have to look at the tape. Maybe there's some tips in there. Jack was always good at explaining things.
Whoa! Oh, my God!
Jean Chrétien did the hip flip.
Really?
Paul Martin did the hip flip.
Well, then we're going to give it a try.
Michael Ignatieff did the hip flip. Remember him?
We sure do.
But Stephen Harper did not do the hip flip.
Oh, I'm not terribly surprised. He doesn't seem to be into having what they call fun.
I was carried away by his security people.
Really?
We do. This is kind of fun. This is, whoa! Stephen Harper, please, will you do the hip flip? You guys don't have to carry me. Thank you so much, Mr. Mulcaire, for volunteering to do the hip flip. Here we have it right over here, the hip flip. We gotta put that. No, we don't want to stab you there. Wow, that's amazing. Bonus hip flipping. Thank you. Congratulations, Mr. Mulcaire.
Thank you very much.
That was absolutely amazing. Catherine, come back here for a second.
You're such a great teacher.
It was amazing. He did extra.
Best.
Is that what he always does? Like, I asked this for one hip flip, and he ended up doing two, almost three.
You see, he's great.
Extra zest. Well, thanks so much, Mr. Mulcaire. Keep on rocking in the free world, and doot, doodaloot, doo.
Orange.
There are only a few public figures in this country who are instantly identifiable by a single name, and one of them is Tommy. Tommy Douglas. He has been Tommy for 40 years. As a prairie preacher, as a member of parliament, as premier of Saskatchewan, as a member of parliament again, and now as he retires from the leadership of the New Democratic Party as a Canadian institution. Few Canadians have been introduced more often at public meetings and conferences and banquets and thousands of other gatherings. And when he's introduced by the chairman, they usually give some biographical details about him, and there's quite a lot to say about Tommy Douglas. He was born in Scotland, the son of an iron molder, came to Canada at the age of 14, lived in Winnipeg at the time of the general strike, which certainly had an effect on his social outlook. At university, Brandon College, McMaster, University of Chicago, he was a brilliant debater, a gold medalist. I'm certain his sermons were a delight. He was ordained in the Baptist Church. His first call was to Weyburn, Saskatchewan. But he's been a politician for 36 years. He was first elected to the House of Commons in 1935, re-elected in 1939, and after he resigned to accept the leadership of the Saskatchewan CCF, he won in 1944, as almost everybody knows, a smashing victory. He was premier for 16 years until he accepted the leadership of the New Democratic Party in 1961 and re-entered the House of Commons. Quite a career. Chairmen love to dwell on it when introducing him, and they usually sprinkle their introductions with laudatory remarks. Tommy reacts to such introductions with modesty, persistently wondering with some humor what the fuss is all about. Here he is at the beginning of an important address to delegates to a meeting of the Cooperative League of the United States.
May I thank you for your very fine demonstration of welcome. May I thank you, sir, for your very kind words of introduction. Being a politician, I don't always get such laudatory introductions. I get introductions of all sorts and descriptions. I think my strangest introduction, however, was once going to a theological college where I was to be the guest speaker at the graduation dinner of these young clergymen. And I was introduced by one of the young theologues. And he got up and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen," he said, "it is my privilege this evening to introduce the premier of the province." He said, "This would make some people nervous, but it doesn't bother me at all." He said, for several years now, I've been helping to run a church camp for boys and girls. And one summer, we had a little boy come to camp whose name was Peter. Peter got along fine at the camp until one night for supper they had prunes. Peter didn't like prunes, so he wouldn't eat them. Lady in charge came around and said, Peter, eat those prunes. No, don't like them. Peter, she said, eat those prunes or God is going to punish you. Well, that was different. Peter started to eat the prunes. And he ate the prunes until he got down to the last one. He just couldn't take any more. Punishment or no punishment, he'd had it, so he quit. Lady came back, she said, Peter, eat that prune. No. Well, she said, Peter, we're going to leave that saucer there and you'll be glad to eat it. After supper, the children played ball. Later on, they went off to bed. During the night, one of those storms that we get on the prairies came up. Thunder rumbled, the lightning flashed, the wind shook the old building, the rain came down in torrents. Children were terrified. They huddled together in the center of the dormitory floor. Those in charge came in, quietened them down, got everybody back in bed. Everybody tucked in, except one. Peter's bed was empty. Lady in charge said, I think I know where he is. Down to the dining room she went, turned on the light. Here was Peter sitting up at the table eating this prune. He looked up at her with these big, blue, innocent eyes, and he said, say, that was a hell of a fuss about one little prune, wasn't it?
Serviette l'enroule autour de moi et soudain, splish splash, je plonge dans mon bain. Je ne me doutais pas que tous les copains étaient là. C'était une partie surprise, tout en pleine crise. J'étais sans chemise, rattaché reprise. Mon beau tapis, je trémousse à tous mes amis. Oui. Flip-flop et danse le yaya, le monkey est aussi le ska. Avec tous les disques sur le phono, les amis de nos amis sont tous nos amis. Et moi, splish splash, je ressortis du bain au chahuté avec tous les copains. J'étais une partie surprise, juste en pleine crise, ma place est reprise.
Now we're going to hear some Douglas jokes. You know, he constantly sprinkles his speeches with anecdotes of all kinds. These are generally drawn from the folklore and immediate experience of his audience. And he uses them in two ways. First, simply to entertain, as the next band suggests. And secondly, to make a point, as you will hear a little later on this record.
And I'm something like the old farmer and his wife who had a daughter who went off to the city, and she got herself a job and did very well and fell in love with a nice young boy, and she was thinking of getting married, and she wrote home and said to Mother and Dad, now, Mother and Dad, she said, I'm going to bring George home so you can meet him, and I hope you like him because I want to marry him. And she brought him home, and of course she told Father and Mother to be on the best behavior, and they were doing so. They had coffee in the living room. And then Mother said, now, Father, she said, you take George and Mary and show them over the farm while I get dinner ready. So away Father went, and he was showing them over the place. And George, of course, was trying to make a good impression, too. He was praising everything he saw, what lovely stock, what fine buildings, what magnificent machinery. And when he got down to the garden, he said, why? He said, Mr. Brown, I've never seen such big strawberries. Oh, the farmer was very modest and said, nothing to that. Anybody can grow strawberries. Lots of manure. Put the manure on them. And he said, why, what a wonderful hedge you've got. Oh, he said, lots of manure. What big vegetable garden? No, he said, lots of manure. That's the answer. The girl was getting more and more embarrassed, and presently she left the father and the boyfriend, and up to the house she came, and she said, Mother, said, you've got to do something with Father. Mother said, what's wrong now, Mary? Well, she said, he's down there with George in the garden talking about manure. said, Mother, can't you teach him to say fertilizer? Mother said, Mary, it's taken me 25 years to get him to say manure. We're sorry that we've given you so much hot weather. This you can expect here. This is the country of drought and heat. They tell, you know, of the politician, one of those kind of politicians who'd rather be wrong than be quiet, who was making a speech in which he said, why, this is a fine province. There's nothing wrong with this province. All this province needs is lots of water and lots of good people. Some fellow at the back said, that's all hell needs. The farmer who's hauling water in one of these to feed his stock, and one of these tourists going through said, what are you hauling water for? He said, I'm hauling it to my stock. He said, how far do you haul it? He said, 2 miles. He said, why don't you put down a well? Well, he said, about the same distance.
Former CCF NDP leader Tommy Douglas, from his box set, as referenced in the interview earlier that you heard on Ardwar the Human Serviette radio show with Thomas Mulcair. And in between there, the box set narrated by Pierre Burton, rest in peace, and Tommy Douglas, rest in peace, was a little bit of Caesar at Ces Romains, Caesar and the Romans from Montreal, Quebec, with Splish Splash, probably around the same time as Les Jaguar released, probably 1965. Coming up right now, an interview with Jean Chrétien, I did a few years ago. Jean Chrétien, former Prime Minister of Canada. No conservative interviews today on the Nardwuar the Human Serviette radio show. Stephen Harper did not want to take questions at his event in North Vancouver that I attended. He didn't want to take questions from me, Nardwuar the Human Serviette. You're thinking, oh, well. Well, actually, he didn't want to take questions from a whole bunch of people. He only takes 5 questions. 4 or from national media, and 1 is from the local media. So 1 local media representative, in this case it turned out to be Global Television, got to ask Prime Minister Stephen Harper a question. Afterwards, I approached Stephen Harper's press person and asked, do you think maybe I could do an interview with him another time? Maybe, possibly, said, oh, well, you know, you never know. But before the actual event happened, the press person said to me, oh, but you might be able to speak to him afterwards, so who knows. But regardless, no luck getting close to Stephen Harper in past. I've tried to get close to him, and every time you get close to him, you get carried away by his security group that's accompanying him. When you're getting carried away too by security, keep this in mind. Don't drag your legs. A lot of people like drag their legs so they, you know, kind of stop getting carried away. Lift your legs up, because then the security dudes have to carry you, and then it's like you're getting crowd surfed out by the security agents. So it sucks getting kicked out of somewhere, but if you're going to get kicked out, at least have a little bit of fun and have them physically like carry you. So don't drag your legs. Lift your legs up into a little tuck as if you were skiing. So no interview with Stephen Harper today on the Nardwuar the Human Serviette radio show, but instead, we bring you an interview with Jean Chrétien, former Prime Minister of Canada. Plus, also coming up, Mikhail Gorbachev, leader of the unfree world. The unfree world. Dan Quayle, leader of the United States of America in the vice presidential position a few years ago. And Gerald Ford, ex-president of the United States of America. Also, rest in peace. To prepare you for Jean Chrétien, thought I'd play another politically themed record. On this particular record, it's an allusion, an homage to Bonkers. And what it is it's called, right here, Bonkers. Singer finds song in Bonkers remark. Country music singer B.J. Roberts has wrung a tune out of Human Resources Minister Grace McCarthy's observations that some employees in her ministry have gone bonkers. Roberts says his song, They've All Gone Bonkers, is an up-tempo country number. You can dance to it. So right here is a little homage to Grace McCarthy, as provided by country music singer B.J. Roberts, Grace McCarthy, the human resources minister from British Columbia, and the date of this record is 1983. It was mailed from 1983 to a store in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, Frank's Records, and then eventually I got a hold of it. So from 1983, here's country music singer B.J. Roberts' ode to human resources minister Grace McCarthy's observations that some employees in her ministry have gone bonkers, and in an interview with Jean Chrétien, all on the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Radio Show.
Everyone can get a little crazy, but something's really wrong with poor old Gracie. And it can't go on any longer, 'cause Billy and the Socreds have gone bonkers. Bonkers are funny, but certainly not cute. Bonkers only have one point of view. Bonkers are all power mad and talk about restraint, so you'd better fight for human rights or you'll be bonkers too. There goes Kaiser Billy, he's way out of control, followed by the Socreds who stuck us in a hole. Everyone who's bonkers should be put in a zoo, or else they'll make a monkey out of you. There goes Kaiser Billy, he's way out of control, followed by the Socreds who stuck us in a hole. Everyone who's bonkers should be put in a zoo, or else they'll make a monkey out of you. I think that we've been pushed to the limit, and we can't take it any longer. He can't hear the voices of the unemployed, 'cause Billy and the Socreds have gone bonkers. There goes Kaiser Billy, he's way out of control, followed by the Socreds who stuck us in a hole. Everyone who's bonkers should be put in a zoo, or else they'll make a monkey out of you. Or else they'll make a monkey out of you. Or else they'll make a monkey out of you.
Check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Who are you?
Jean Chrétien.
Welcome to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, Jean Chrétien.
I'm happy. I've been here quite a lot of times in my life. Since I came here the first time in July 1967, you were not born.
How did you know that?
Well, you're a kid.
I am the kid.
Yes, you're the kid.
Mr. Chrétien, Celine Dion, when she warms up for a performance, she listens to AC/DC, and she also listens to hair metal. How do you prepare for a performance? How do you prepare for a presentation?
But I don't prepare myself because I do not have performance anymore. I'm in retirement.
How about a presentation? Like, how do you get yourself psyched up to ready to go out to meet a crowd? Celine Dion uses heavy metal music. How do you do it when you're going out there to meet a crowd, even when you're retired?
No, I've never done anything special. I move from one environment to another one, and I don't feel compelled to, you know, but I'm not a performer like she has to perform because, you know, I've seen her in Las Vegas, and it's kind of a difficult performance, so you know, it's not only intellectually difficult, she has to have a good memory, but it's very physical thing. She dance and jump and so on, so I think she has to prepare herself to be...
But being a prime minister, you have to jump and dance and sing. It's quite physical too, isn't it?
I know, but you do that from your seat in the House of Commons, so it's you don't need to do any mental gymnastics to get ready.
Well, how about when you're challenging Bill Clinton to a little jump over a fence, like in your brand new book?
Because I'm a very competitive guy, and there was this, we were in Great Britain, and there was, we escaped our bodyguards for some 45 minutes. That was quite a feast for us. And we went into the bush, and we came back, and from and there was a wall about 4, 5, 6 feet high, plus a ramp. And I said, Bill, why don't we jump over that? And I, very competitive as I can be, I was up long, and he had problem to do it, too, and he's only 14 years younger than I. So I felt pretty good. That was a good day where Canadian won.
Mr. Kretchen, that's in your book, and also in your book is an amazing photo. What can you tell the people about this photo here? I just find this absolutely incredible. This is you shirtless with a whole bunch of journalists here in Rio de Janeiro.
We were in Rio, and we were in the same hotel, and I went down to swim, and they were all there, and we had a beer in a swimming pool, and it looks pretty friendly crowd.
Now, what sort of adventures do you get involved with in politics? Like, for instance, in 1971, were you involved in some vodka drinking contests with the Russians?
Yes, it was. It was not a contest. It is, they decided to get me drunk. And they do that, you know, we were in Siberia and we were on the Lena River, and the ambassador said to me, Minister, today that is the day that they will get you drunk. And they do that to a lot of guests. So they said, don't worry, we'll take care of you. And we drank a lot of vodka, toasting friendship over the North, and it is the year that we Canadians, we defeat them at the hockey and so on, so we had a lot of fun. And by the end of the afternoon, unfortunately, I had taken a bit too much of it. But they said, let's have a contest between 3-4 Canadians and 4 Russians jumping into the river, swimming to another boat. And it is the Lena River. The Lena River is like the Mackenzie River, so it's not warm there. So we were 4 Canadians. We just get ready to jump. You know, took off our clothes, and we were in our underwear, and they were too, and we were the 8 of us, and they jumped the gun, and only us, the Canadian, jumped into the water, and the Russian found it very funny. But what happened is when I was in the water, I drank a hell of a lot of water, so that diluted my vodka, and the premier of the province of Yakutsk there, who was there, you know, they had to carry him out of the boat while I walk on my own power off the boat to the acclamation of the Canadian, jokingly, you know, because it was, it's what they say, it was a contest. You know, they do that. One time, Mike Pearson, who became prime minister, when he was minister of foreign affairs, had a similar adventure in Moscow, and he's done it very well, according to what I read about it.
Mr. Kretchen, on page 12 of your brand new book, you talk about letting your grandsons eavesdrop on your first conversation with Bill Clinton. That was really nice of you.
Yes, why not? You know, Bill Clinton called me. I had won the election in the night before. The final result came late. No, it was early, but concession by the then Prime Minister, Madame Campbell, who was from BC, waited until the result were in BC to concede. So in my writing time, it was midnight. Anyway, Mr. Clinton called me early in the morning to congratulate me, and I said to the kids, why don't listen? I'm talking with the President of the United States, and they were there.
It was really cool to let them eavesdrop. That was really cool, Mr. Kretchen.
It was nothing that confidential, you know.
It was only the President of the United States.
I was only the President of the United States, and I was only the Prime Minister of Canada that day.
And you are Mr. Jean Chrétien, the former Prime Minister of Canada. On page 195 of your book, you talk about using Diana Krall as bait to get the Mexican president up to Canada.
You find it cool?
You got her up here.
Yes, what happened is that we had a conference, an international conference on federalism, and it was Mr. Dion who was in charge. And he had this idea that we should have big speakers. So he said, why don't we invite Bill Clinton and Zidio? I said, hey, a minute, these guys don't go to make conferences too often. But it turned out that it was organized in a way that Mr. Clinton came there, and he had come to Ottawa. It was not very far. We took the helicopter to go there, and he made his speech. And after that, we had a golf game, him and I. So But how to get Zidio? Zidio, as president of Mexico, if the president of Mexico wants to get out of the country, he needs the permission of his parliament. So it's not easy. And so I said, Ernesto, why don't you come? I said, I cannot, John, because, you know, I don't want to ask the permission, and it, probably not. You know, there's so many times I can go and ask the permission to leave. It's kind of a funny system. I don't know if they still have it. So, but I said, it's too bad, because if you had come to Canada, Diana Krall would have been there. And I knew I'd been at his residence as president, and I've seen some of the music of Diana Krall. So when I told him that, I said, it's too bad. So he asked for the permission, and he came. And she was in Canada at that time, so she came to Ottawa for a lunch. And she had invited for that occasion her mom and dad from Mananaimo here to be there. And it was, we had other guests, and I put Zidio and his wife right next to the piano, and Diana will ask them what they wanted her to play and sing. So the bite was Diana Krall, and he came and made a very good conference speech.
Mr. Kretschmann, speaking of records and stuff, do you remember this record, Go, Go, Trudeau at all? Do you remember this, by Les Sinners?
But it was 68. I can see that right there. You know, it was his first election. I was already, you know, in his cabinet at that time. We were sworn in as cabinet minister the year before, something like the 6th of April, 1967. And we became both ministers the same day. Less than a year after that, he was a leader, and that was the Trudeau mania. So the people...
made a record called Go, Go, Trudeau.
Go, Go, Trudeau, you know, and a few others.
Was there ever a Jean Chrétien record? Is there a Jean Chrétien record?
No.
Like those no-go-go Chrétien?
No. The only funny thing I've done is with music is my caucus gave me one day a German trombone, and I played a few times here and there with that, one time in public on TV, but it was almost a terrible disaster. So, and I, at the convention of the Liberal Party, they forced me to use it, but, you know, I'm not a performer, but I like music, trombone is not something that you can use very often to be a soloist anywhere now.
How about this particular Canadian band, French Canadian band? So many great French Canadian bands. Do you remember them? Les Classelles et al.
Classelles, and one of them is the husband of Céline Dion. And I will tell you something that nobody knows, but these guys, you know, what is the name of...
He might actually be in the band Les Baronets. Might not have been Les Classelles.
Oh, yes, I see. Les Baronets. I'm sorry, you're right. The Classelles. Because the Baronets' first performance was in my hometown. He told that to me.
Really? You know,
but the Classelles, yes, they were very popular in those days. But I don't know them personally, no.
Mr. Kretschmann, on page 185 of your book, talking about APEC, you say, all at once, everybody began shouting about Pepper.
Yes.
And I guess what I was wondering is, wasn't everybody me? I actually asked a Pepper question, Mr. Kretschmann.
But, you know, you did.
Yes, it wasn't like everybody yelling at you. It was like one person. I was actually asking you a question about punk rock and pepper spray, and that's what prompted your reply.
Perhaps.
Mr. Kretschmann, regarding Suharto, there's a song out there right now by a punk band called the Nomads called the Suharto Stomp. Earlier today as well at UBC, there were an incredible number of protesters. Do you think, Mr. Kretschmann, if you were, say, 40 years younger, that you too would be writing punk songs and protesting against APEC?
But for me, in a democracy, people protest. I've been protested a few times in my lifetime. I did that myself, too, when I was a student.
Do you think, though, that mace equals freedom? Some of the protesters were maced.
What do you say?
Some of the protesters were maced. Does mace equal freedom? Would you have been maced yourself back then, Prime Minister Kretschmann?
But I don't know what you mean by that.
Mace? Pepper spray, some other members.
Oh, but I don't know. This technique did not exist in those days. For me, pepper, I put it on my plate. Next. But my recollection is I hadn't any questions about it, and I didn't know at all what had happened, because that happened after I'd left. And so I said, what the hell, Pepper, I put it on my plate. And you remember that, because they talk about not Pepper. They talk about Mace.
Yes, I said, does Mace equal freedom?
Yeah, Mace, and I didn't know the meaning of it.
But
I saw you shout to me, Pepper. I said, oh, Pepper, oh, I put it on my plate, because I didn't know what you meant. So I could not reply better, because, you know, and I was in a good mood. The conference had gone well. There had been no problem.
And earlier you had talked about your protesting years, how you protest yourself.
Of course. You know, when you're in public office, you have to expect to have protests. I did organize protests myself when I was a kid. So once in a while, when the protests were a bit lively, I would say to myself, Jean, you deserve it. You know, you remember what you did in Quebec City or Montreal and when you were a kid. So, but it has to be within the guidelines in respect of no breaking property and letting the people the right to go where they want to go.
What was interesting, Mr. Kretchen, is I asked you that, and thank you for acknowledging now, because in your book you say, quote, once everybody began shouting. You didn't say once Nardwar began shouting.
Well, so much noisy that I thought it was the whole room, I guess. You were very aggressive, if I remember, but for me, I had the impression that a question came from many corners.
No, it was right from me, Jean Chrétien. And what's amazing, Mr. Chrétien, is look at what happened. Did you see the stuff that happened from this? Somebody sent me this. There's an entire T-shirt here. Pepper, I put it on my plate.
Yeah, that's a nice, and I'm smiling. So it's reflect the mood of the day.
Is this capitalism at its best, Jean Chrétien?
Well, that has nothing to do with capitalism. That is, you know, we were dealing with a serious problem of the fiscal problems that existed in the Asian country at that time. The currency had collapsed in Korea and so on. So it was a very serious meeting that we had here.
It's just amazing that it turned into a T-shirt. And believe it or not, Mr. Chrétien, it even makes an appearance, that quote that I asked you, even makes an appearance in Canadian History for Dummies.
Really, but it's not a, you know, but...
It's amazing.
Oh, so it's why you have it, because you're a dummy, I guess.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much, Mr. Chrétien. And winding up here, Mr. Chrétien, I was wondering, referring on here, you're talking about, on page 380 of your book, about the Pope. And I wanted to ask you, what can you tell me about the Pope and his influence to make you possibly move up your retirement date?
Well, you know, not, you know, we had a chat, and private talk, and I was talking about my plan of retirement, and I don't remember exactly, but he was a very nice person. I met him many times as prime minister, and of course my faith is I'm a Roman Catholic, and so you know we discuss life, and retirement was part of it.
How about this gentleman here, Jean Chrétien? I was wondering, what can you tell me about these particular people? Frank Mahovlich.
Frank Mahovlich is a senator now, and he was a great hockey star for the Maple Leaf, and he was a great hockey star for the Canadian. And he is a very popular senator today. And Harold Schwarzenegger, I don't know this guy, you know.
Did you ever meet Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No, I don't. I've never met him, but I know of him, you know, because he's from south of here, and... He's the governor of the state of California. Tommy Douglas, he was a member of parliament at the time that I was there. In fact, at one time when I was fighting as Minister of Justice for the Charter of Rights and some of the NDP were giving me problems, he would call me home to encourage me. Him and David Lewis did that to me. And old Deef here, he was a member of parliament when I was there. He was the leader of the opposition in 1963. And he was the leader of the opposition when we won in 1965. He was quite a speaker in the House of Commons. In terms of administration, he had a lot of problems. In terms of public speaking, he was quite an orator, as we say.
What about this right here, Mr. Chrétien, the Diefendaler? I included that, the Diefendaler. Do you remember the Diefendaler?
Yeah, but, you know, it was at a time the dollar went down when he was there. But I think from a very high level. And it went much lower later on, and now it's back where it was. So dollar is fluctuating in the market. But at that time, you know, the opposition decided to attack him because the dollar was getting weaker.
I found it interesting on page 284 of your book, Mr. Chrétien, we're speaking here to Jean Chrétien, you talk about Castro joking about Stockwell Day.
Yes, but yes, he said to me something like I wrote that you should call an election. You know, he was an amazing character. For example, one morning I was going out of Havana and I was in a car with him, and he said, "Are you aware that, Mr. Chrétien, that the stock market collapsed in the morning? There was a drop, you know, a big drop in the market, something like that. But Castro talking to me about the market, while it was not my preoccupation in the morning when I was getting up as prime minister."
He knew about the Dow Jones.
Yeah, that's surprising.
And Mr. Chrétien, lastly here, I wanted to ask you about this. This right here is called the hip flip. And it is a little game, a little 1960s game. I did this actually with Jack Layton. I did this with Stephen Harper. Actually, Stephen Harper said no, he would not do the hip flip with me. Paul Martin did the hip flip. Jack Layton did the hip flip. Would you possibly partake in doing the hip flip with me, Jean Chrétien?
I don't do these things. Why should I do it?
Oh, just because I was asking.
You want me on the record list?
Oh, I'm just wondering if you could join the club, the hip flip club. It's just I've approached different political figures.
Do it.
Oh, well, I can show you how to do it. We have it right over here. Would you like to see it all, Mr. Chrétien?
I don't know.
Is that okay?
No,
can I show you?
No problem. You know,
okay.
I'm a kid.
Okay. Well, we have it right over here. I have it right here, Mr. Chrétien. And what it is...
I can understand that.
Yeah, and then, like, all you do, and I feel...
So you do you do it?
And then, you just kind of... And then you can put your hands here, too, if you'd like.
But we want to move it forward.
Well, you did it, Mr. Chrétien. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time. And lastly, Mr. Chrétien, keep on rocking in the free world and do-do-do-do-do.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Radio Show. You just heard right there, the Nomads, a.k.a. the Evaporators with Suharto Stomp. And before that, an interview with Jean Chrétien. on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show. I mentioned some other political interviews that I've done. And again, today in the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show, we've heard from Thomas Mulcair and John Kretchen. I am going to play now a couple little clips of my encounters political-wise with Mikhail Gorbachev and Dan Quayle, Vice President of the United States of America, and Mikhail Gorbachev, leader of the Unfree World, on the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette radio show.
Earlier today at a news conference at Science World, a reporter from UBC's CITR radio, who was wearing a toque, threw an oddball question at Gorbachev.
Can I ask something?
Sure.
Yeah.
You sure?
Well,
there are a lot of
questions.
Okay, two more fast ones because Gorbachev has other activities that he has to take part in. Go ahead.
Okay, Nardwuar from CITR Radio. First off, Dershne Rockin Uslobodny Svet.
What's your question?
That was keep on rocking in a free world in Russia. And I was also wondering, of all the political figures that Dr. Gorbachev has encountered, who has the largest pants?
Thank you very much. We'd like to call up now the...
Dershne Rockin.
Well, sorry, I didn't understand your Russian.
Gorbachev took the nonsense in stride, looking a little confused and a little bemused. The man was questioned by the RCMP, but appears to have been properly accredited for the news conference. In Gorbachev's homeland...
There was a lighter moment during Mikhail Gorbachev's Vancouver visit earlier this weekend. Gorbachev took some questions from the public at the city's Science World. A man who said he was from a university radio station tried some fractured Russian on Gorbachev. The phrase he used translated as keep on rocking in the free world. Then came his question, which was, quote, of all the political figures that Dr. Gorbachev has encountered, who has the largest pants? Well, Gorbachev smirked through an embarrassed silence in the room. Some red-faced organizers hastily moved to the next step in the program, and of course, the Mounties briefly questioned the reporter. Sports weather and the Kinks right after this.
We're going to have some fun this evening. I'm going to speak for 20, 30 minutes or so, and then we've got a couple microphones I see on over here and over there, and you can take this conversation wherever you want to.
Hi, Mr. Quill. Who's the Prime Minister of Canada?
Prime Minister of Canada, we just had the President Clinton up there for an address. And it's one thing that George Bush didn't do. Mulroney did not invite him up. But you now have a new Prime Minister of Canada.
Hi, Mr. Quill. Who's the Prime Minister of Canada?
Prime Minister of Canada, we just had the President Clinton up there for an address. And it's one thing that George Bush didn't do. Mulroney did not invite him up. But you now have a new Prime Minister of Canada.
Hi, Mr. Quill. Who's the Prime Minister of Canada?
Prime Minister of Canada, we just had the President Clinton up there for an address. And it's one thing that George Bush didn't do. Mulroney did not invite him up. But you now have a new Prime Minister of Canada.
Can our government be competent? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can our government be honest? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can our government be decent and open? As the 39th president, he has spoken yes. Jimmy Carter says yes.
Dear President, I, Jimmy Carter, know it is possible to run a government efficiently and without sin or any corruption. I will do my level best to run the government decently without any statement of eruption. Errors and wrongdoings I will reveal to the public. For corruption while I'm in office, I'll not barter. I'll stand tall like Old Glory, faithful to the Republic. Security will prevail, as sure as I'm the president. President Jimmy Carter. Can a government be competent? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can a government be honest? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can a government be decent and open as the 39th president? Spoken, yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter, our 39th president. Jimmy Carter, our 39th president. Jimmy Carter.
And you're still listening to the Nardwar, the Human Serviette Radio Show. You just heard right there, Jimmy Carter says yes, by Gene Marshall, from the amazing compilation, The American Song Poem Anthology. Do you know the difference between Big Wood and Brush? Put out by Bar None Records. And before that, you heard a little bit of Dan Quayle and Mikhail Gorbachev. Right now, continuing on and on and on with the political theme, here is a snippet of a conversation, in fact, the entire conversation I had with Gerald Ford, ex-president of the United States of America, when he came to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, many years ago. I could ask him anything I wanted. I just walked into the Hotel Vancouver and there he was at a press conference. It was super easy to be able to ask a question. I later found out that he was part of the Warren Commission to help investigate the assassination of John F. Kennedy. I could have asked him a question about the Warren Commission, about the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Maybe I could have solved what all the assassinator researchers are looking into. Like, I had a chance to do some first-hand research. Instead, I asked, well, you will hear what I asked. So here is me, Nardwar the Human Serviette, versus Gerald R. Ford. Interestingly enough, you'll hear a reference to Peter Pocklington from the Edmonton Oilers. Yes, it was that long ago, who I think maybe even had brought Gerald Ford to town. And we all know what happened to Peter Pocklington, Peter the Puck.
Ladies and gentlemen, please provide a warm Western welcome to the 38th President of the United States, Gerald R. Ford.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. My friend Peter Pocklington, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, it's a very, very high honor and great privilege for me to come to Vancouver. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Ford, I was wondering, why does the United States of America, possibly the greatest nation in the entire world, why would they take an interest in Canada? Canada being a nation filled with clam chowder, salmon, or anything like that, why would they care? What? How can we believe that they're sincere in what they're doing?
What you just said is not my viewpoint of Canada. And I am surprised that someone in Canada would use that language about Canadians. But nevertheless, we in the United States have great respect and admiration for Canadians and your country. And we have, as I said in my remarks, the most unique relationship between two nations in the history of mankind.
God, in his infinite wisdom,
put Richard Nixon on this earth to bring to us his heritage, one of priceless worth, a courageous leader and a blessed man, surely in God's plan. God in his infinite wisdom put Richard Nixon on this earth to bring to us his heritage, one of priceless worth. His heritage is from heaven, and the magic from above, the rapture of music and melody, of culture and of love. Yes, God in his infinite wisdom put Richard Nixon on this earth to bring to us his heritage, one of priceless worth. A leader with endless courage, a miracle, you might say, and all who have met Nixon love him so, the genius of his way. God in his infinite wisdom put Richard Nixon on this earth to bring to us his heritage, one of priceless worth. God in his infinite wisdom put Richard Nixon on this earth to bring to us his heritage, one of priceless worth.
First time I met Winston Churchill was in 1941 in December. I had seen him in the gallery, from the gallery of the House of Commons in 1916 when he was in disgrace following Gallipoli. When he got up to speak with the mud of France on his uniform, the house emptied. I saw him in 1932 when he was a pariah. I saw him in 1936 when he became the king's man at the time of the abdication. I saw him in 1939. I said to him, "Prime Minister, the first time I saw you, you were in disgrace." His answer, "Which time was that?" I happened to be a teetotaler, and the first occasion that my wife and I were at lunch at Churchill's was in 1957. All during the luncheon, he was reaching down. I wonder what he was reaching for. Finally, he came up with a bottle, which even to my unpracticed eye represented one of the few remaining portions of Napoleonic brandy. It was about half full, the bottle. He said, "Will you have some?" And I said, "I never take any." And he put his earpiece on so that he could hear me more clearly. I said, "I'm a teetotaler." And he said, "You're a what? Are you a prohibitionist?" And I said, "No. It was a prohibitionist who beat you in Dundee in 1920. And he said, "Yes, I had very bad luck that year. I had two or three defeats in succession." And he said, "So you're not Lake Scrimgeour, who was the successful candidate against him on that occasion?" I said, "No, I'm a teetotaler, but not a prohibitionist." He found difficulty in understanding that. His wife helped out. Finally, he got it clear. He said, "What you say is this, that you are a teetotaler and not a prohibitionist." I said, "That's right." "Oh, in that case, you only hurt yourself."
Churchill was terrible when the time. I was there the day that in 51, when the conservative member left and went over to the labor side because he didn't expect the old man would win again. You still watched him.
Finally, the member came to rest in the far back seat. And Churchill said, "Mr. Speaker, this is the first time in recorded history that anyone has ever seen a rat swimming towards a sinking ship."
And you're still listening to the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Radio Show. You just heard right there John Diefenbaker, former Canadian Prime Minister, speaking about Winston Churchill. And before that, you heard Richard Nixon by Rod and the MSR Singers. And before that, an interview from a press conference with Gerald R. Ford by me, Nardwuar, the Human Serviette. I was hoping to ask Stephen Harper some questions at a press conference, as I mentioned, in North Vancouver. It was an interesting place to have the press conference, North Vancouver. Well, maybe not so really interesting considering all the races are going on, but just considering all the little tidbits that were associated with where it was being held. It was being held at a hockey arena, and it made me think, not far away from the hockey arena, the Canlan Hockey Arena in North Vancouver, is the location of the former Coach House Inn in North Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And the Coach House Inn is where members of Team Canada stayed the night they lost to the Russians as part of the 72 Summit Series that was played at the Pacific Coliseum in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, 1972. Plus, the Coach House Inn was home for many years for the World Belly Flop Championships. So this is pretty amazing. Stephen Harper was near the World Belly Flop Championships and also the hotel where members of Team Canada stayed at. And Harper loves hockey. Never got a chance to ask him about any of that stuff, but I thought I'd play for you anyways a hockey-related record, one of Stephen Harper's favorite teams, the Toronto Maple Leafs, had a member called Johnny Bower. And Johnny Bower had an incredible song called "The Christmas Goose." So we're going to hear Johnny Bower singing "The Christmas Goose." Johnny Bower, a goalie, singing "The Christmas Goose" tune on Capitol Records. And after that, going to hear a little bit of the Canada-USA Hockey Series Summit from an actual record that was released celebrating it, the Canada-Russia Hockey Series. So here's Johnny Bower with "The Christmas Goose" on the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Radio Show.
Honky, honky, the Christmas goose got so fat that he was no use till he learned how to blow his nose, honk the way a goose nose blows. After that, and just for fun, it was a simple matter, he would blow his honky horn to see the people scatter. Cars and planes and trucks and trains would get out of his way, and when they heard that honky horn, this is what they'd say.
Oh, honky, honky, the Christmas goose got so fat that he was no use till he learned how to blow his nose, honk the way a goose nose blows.
Christmas Eve was bright and clear, no trouble was inside, but up in space a traffic jam gave Santa Claus a fright. With rockets, kites, and satellites, and nooks and dogs and all, his team of tiny reindeer
honky, the Christmas goose, got so fat that he was no use, till he learned how to blow his nose, honk the way a goose nose blows.
Santa sure was worried for their children on his list. He had to get a move on or their stockings would be missed. Just then he heard a honky horn a-coming down the sky, and everything moved over to let the sleigh go by.
Oh, honky, honky, the Christmas goose, though he's fat, he's still some use. Christmas sleigh, he honks his horn to tell the world that Santa Claus is on his way. Honk!
September 6th, we met the Soviets for the third time in Winnipeg.
With Esposito forechecking. Now they keep that puck in. A quick backhand shot by Parise was wide. He ran into his check back of the net. He'll wait. Let one go. It's there. It's good.
Parise's goal made us feel that this was going to be Toronto all over again. Our boys were playing great hockey. So were the Soviets. At 3:16, Petrov tied up the game while his team was shorthanded. But Jean Rattel put us ahead 2-1 just before the period ended. Team Canada was playing well, applying constant pressure, playing their positions as they had done in Toronto. At the start of the second period, we went ahead 3-1.
He ran into his check along the boards in the corner on the other side. Parise in front of the goal. Esposito scores! Cashman got it in front for Esposito.
The Soviets came back with their second goal halfway through the period, again when they were shorthanded. They were becoming experts at this, taking the puck from their own end and passing it ahead to a quick-breaking forward. After that goal, our players came back hard, and Paul Henderson made it 4-2.
Coming back inside his own blue line, Bill White, number 17, out with Bobby Clark. A long lead pass for Henderson. He's on the move. He scores!
At that point, we felt that we had won our second game of the series, but the Soviets poured it on.
Cashman tried to root it loose and failed. It's out to the line where Vasiliev shoots one. He scores! Vasiliev shooting. It hit LaPointe's skate, I believe, and went into the far corner, and Tony Esposito goes out to say something to LaPointe, giving him a little tap and pep talk. Right in front of the net, it comes for Anderson. Back to Budinov. He scores! Budinov getting the pass from Anderson, and it's a tied hockey game, 4-4.
What looked like a certain victory at the beginning had changed with dramatic swiftness. The Soviets were playing with the same poise and vigor as they had when the game started. Our boys were out on their feet and were just hanging on hoping that the game would end with a tie. It did, and we considered ourselves lucky. This was game number 3, and I now knew with certainty that the remaining 5 games would be life and death battles.
And good evening, everybody. The series tied. A victory of peace and a tie in Winnipeg 2 nights ago, 4-4. And here's the 4th game in Canada underway. Team Canada shooting the puck to the...
For the Vancouver game, we changed our lineups again. Dryden was back in goal, and I decided to play Gilles Perreault for the first time in the series. I pulled Cashman because he had such a rough time with the referees in Winnipeg. The Vancouver game was a disaster. Even where fans were booing, and the players were very upset. The Soviets played as they had consistently and well. Their first 2 goals were by Mikhailov, who is one of their best players around the net.
Over the line, Petrov along the boards. It goes to Luchenko. He scores! Long shot from just inside the blue line by Luchenko. Might have been tipped in front of the net. And Petrov is winding up in front of the Russian goal. Comes out over the line. Stick handling neatly. Hands it over on the left side for Mikhailov. Down to Harlamov. Harlamov across that line. Stops. Looks for somebody clear. Gives it to Luchenko. He scores! Again, it might have been a tip-in type of a goal. We wait for the official announcement. But it's another power play effort by Russia at 7:29, and it's 2-0.
In the second period, when we were behind 3-1, Rod Gilbert scored a goal which was disallowed.
Starting out, Canadians on the power play. 30 seconds left in that penalty. Esposito going in. Gave it to Hatfield. Hatfield center to Gilbert. And he kicked that one in. No goal. No goal.
The decision on the Gilbert goal killed the spirit of our players that night. That and the hostile attitude of the Vancouver fans.
For the people across Canada, we tried. We did our best. And for the people that boo us, geez, all of us guys are really disheartened and we're disillusioned and we're disappointed in some of the people. We cannot believe the bad press we've got, the booing we've gotten in our own buildings. And if the Russians boo their players, if the fans, Russians boo their players like some of the Canadian fans, I'm not saying all of them, some of them booed us, then I'll come back and I'll apologize to each one of the Canadians, but I don't think they will. I'm really disappointed. I am completely disappointed. I cannot believe it. Some of our guys are really, really down in the dumps. We know, we're trying, what the hell? I mean, we're doing the best we can, and they got a good team, and let's face facts. But it doesn't mean that we're not giving it our 150%, because we certainly are.
The series now stood at 2 wins for the Soviets, 1 for Team Canada, and a tie. It was on to Russia, where hockey history would be made.
And you're still listening to the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Radio Show. You just heard right there a little record all about the game that happened. Well, there was the game previously in Winnipeg, but the game that happened in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada in 1972, where Team Canada lost to the Russians at the Pacific Coliseum. The Pacific Coliseum, just over the bridge from the Coach House Inn in North Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, where Stephen Harper made an appearance earlier this week. And before that, we had Johnny Bauer with The Christmas Goose, one of Stephen Harper's favorite tunes. To end the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show right now, I wanted to read a little email that I got last night, as I was just preparing to come out to the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show. Hi, Nardwuar, from Patty Cool. I feel Vancouver has a great loss today at 6:45 p.m., this being Thursday, September the 17th. Howard Ricks passed on after suffering an asthma attack, which developed to a double heart attack at VGH. 53 years old and still very handsome, considering he was one with his wild side. Howard Ricks, as you probably know, played in the Scramblers, the Trespassers, Stinging Hornets, the Elvis of Vancouver, I called him. I was fortunate to play stand-up bass, and he sang Don't Be Cruel at Joni Kempler's house, the stand-up bass player of his Stingy Hornets, who has been giving me bass lessons. We celebrated our friend Karina's birthday, August the 26th, 2015. Howard was in great form. So sad, so loved by many. Patty Cool. Thank you, Patty, for passing this on to me. Howard was an amazing, amazing singer, just a great rockabilly singer. I wanted to play a track by one of his bands to end an Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show here today, Solitary Man. In honor of Howard Ricks, your music will live on and your inspirations are many. Here are the Scramblers with Solitary Man, dedicated to Howard Ricks, who again passed away at the age of 53 yesterday, Thursday, September the 17th. Thanks, Patty, again for letting me know. Rest in peace, Howard.
I walk alone through your town and I watch you as you walk by. I've got a cigarette and a memory. Anything else that I can get for free? I got a room with a view. Right, I wait for another night. And another night is coming round again. I never wonder where the last one went. Yeah, I'm a solitary man. I'm a solitary man. I've been around, up and down the mall. Every day it's just the same old grind, but you're a
for free.